Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you for calling in to Smoke News Radio. Calling in or coming in, checking out. As everything's already set up, ready to go, and it disappears off my desktop real quick. So coming in super down, trying to find where those amazing stories that I researched beforehand. Tonight we're going to be talking about the marijuana legalization and what's happening in the world as there is the lockdown of any kind of trade and movement going on. So at the end of the show, we're going to be talking about what politicians are saying about the marijuana laws on 420. It's a super long. There's a lot of people talking about 420 now. It's a way to do it. So let's start first talking about the news article that I found. I just had a little bit of a pen racing to get everything together. So sometimes, you know, you get everything. Stepping on your own toes as you're like, go fast, read, quick, jump, flip. Just get into it. Do it. Don't think. No emotion. No emotion. Live. Be. Blow the marijuana off the screen, please, Jason. Marijuana on the screen. Hold on. There we go. This is all purely professionally done. Okay. So first, we have from Newsweek.com, Mangon 4/21/2020. We got Lebanon passes legislation legalizing medical marijuana cultivation as economy struggles amid coronavirus fallout. This is by Jason Lemon, 4/21/20. Lebanese parliament on Tuesday passed legislation to legalize cannabis cultivation. Karim Charev, an independent Lebanese journalist and researcher, noted on Twitter that Lebanese political party Hezbollah opposed the new law, though their key allies supported the draft law. Hezbollah were not the only party to oppose this, as workers cultivate plants at cannabis plantations in the village of Yamuna in Lebanon's eastern Bekaa Valley. Lebanon has been publicly discussing the possibilities of legalizing cannabis for medicinal and industrial purposes. Pharmaceutical sciences professor Mohamed Mourey performs cannabis oil extraction in a simulation in his laboratory in the Lebanese American University branch of Byblos in July. Next on Smoke News Radio by Jason Brodsky on the microphone, written by Metro Times and Steve Neveling, Michigan's marijuana industry is deemed essential during coronavirus outbreak. Governor Gretchen Whitmer on Monday required all non-essential businesses to close as part of a stay-at-home order. For the past week, the Marijuana Regulatory Agent has encouraged dispensaries to begin curbside and delivery services. Some dispensaries, including Greenhouse in Wild Lake and Herbology in River Rogue, have begun online orders to streamline curbside delivery. Next, from USNews.com, can you be allergic to marijuana? By Michael Blias from the Associated Press. Though cannabis can be consumed in many ways, smoking it is still the most common method. According to the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, smoke from cigarettes can cause and trigger respiratory problems such as asthma and COPD. Also, secondhand smoke can cause problems if people exposed to it, especially children with asthma, Here are some answers to some common questions. What do we know about marijuana smoking and asthma? Frequent marijuana smoking may produce symptoms of cough, mucus production, and wheezing. For anyone with asthma, marijuana smoke, like any other smoke, can irritate the lungs and trigger or worsen a flare-up. There are case reports of secondhand marijuana smoke producing asthma flare-ups in children with asthma. Does cannabis cause asthma? Currently, we don't know if smoking marijuana leads to asthma. It can damage the lining of the lungs and contribute to inflammation in the airways. Also, there are reports showing that marijuana smoking may lead to abnormal air spaces in the lungs. These can rupture and result in collapsed lung called pneumothorax, which can be life-threatening. You may have heard that medical marijuana given orally can help asthma, but there are no rigorous scientific studies to determine if it's beneficial and safe. Next question, can you be allergic to cannabis? The answer is yes. You can develop an allergy to the pollen and other proteins in the marijuana plant, just like you can be pollen from trees and grasses. Allergic reactions can not only occur from smoking marijuana, but also from oral ingestion and from contact with your skin. It's estimated that up to 10% of people using marijuana may have an allergy to it. Symptoms associated with marijuana allergy are the typical ones that we see with other allergies: sneezing, nasal and eye itching, nasal congestion, and runny nose. Lung problems like wheezing can be seen too. Handling marijuana can produce itching, hives, and other skin rashes in people who have a sensitivity. When you eat a product contains marijuana, there can be gastrointestinal problems like vomiting and diarrhea. In very rare cases, a severe life-threatening allergic reaction called anaphylaxis can occur. Several foods such as bananas, almonds, tomatoes, peaches, and citrus fruits have cross-reacting allergens with marijuana. This means that people with marijuana allergy may see an allergic reaction called oral allergy syndrome when eating these marijuana foods. Use of cannabinol or CBD oil is very popular. CBD oil does not contain the substances that cause the euphoric effects seen with marijuana use. And while it's thought to be helpful in many medical conditions, there is little scientific proof at this time. But CBD oil can trigger allergic reactions in people with marijuana allergy, as it may contain the allergens from the marijuana plant. Next question. How do you determine if you have a marijuana allergy? Right now, there are no standard allergy skin tests, as there are legal limitations in obtaining marijuana extracts. Check with a board-certified allergist if you believe you may be allergic to marijuana. Currently, the only treatment for marijuana allergy is avoidance. You may need to carry an EpiPen auto-injector if your allergist thinks you have a risk of anaphylaxis. In the future, there may be immunotherapy that could lead to a cure for this marijuana allergy, but it's not yet available for those afflicted. On Smoke News Radio from thegrowop.com, Malta to export 1.4 billion of medical marijuana by 2023. Written by Bobby Hristova. Prime Minister Joseph Muscat said the exports will start in 2020 and will add 900 jobs to the country. Muscat is confident Canadian companies will invest in the country's efforts, with 20 companies already included in a letter of intent from Malta Enterprise, the medical marijuana regulator in Malta, to work in the Mediterranean archipelago. Malta announced its plans to gain footing in the pot industry and is aiming to ship out about $1.4 billion worth of medical cannabis products by 2023. At the end of his visit to Canada and the United States, Maltese Prime Minister Joseph Muscat told Television Malta, TVM, exportation will begin in the first quarter of next year. We are estimating that exports by year three of these companies will reach more than 1 billion euro and that 900 jobs will be made available. However, we can attract even more players in this respect, he added. TVM reports Muscat is confident Canadian companies will invest in the country's efforts. 20 other companies already have a letter of intent from Malta Enterprise, the medical marijuana regulator in Malta, to work in the Mediterranean archipelago. Malta's Prime Minister Joseph Muscat addresses the 74th session of the United States General Assembly at the UN headquarters in New York. Muscat hopes the move will spur stronger economic ties with North America. The strongest interest we found in New York was in the financial services sector. Here in Canada, the interest is in medical cannabis, while in the United States, it is in blockchain. Muscat will be finalizing the country's budget this week. On Smoke News Radio, read to you by your host, Jason Brodsky, from the Marijuana Movement. We're going to skim through this one, but the CIA says people who use marijuana and other drugs aren't necessarily bad or unworthy. Written by Kyle Yeager, April 24th. U.S. District Court dismissed requests for plaintiffs' reclassification. This one's all complicated. This ain't no news article. But anyhow, whole big case. Rule change proposal. Okay, anyhow. Virginia, from Vox.com, just decriminalized marijuana. Sometimes the only news you get is from the heading, because the rest of it is not really an article. It's just all this detail upon detail you can't just work in your brain. So I'm helping save you some brain power. You know, we'll burn some electricity together tonight. So let's get back to it. Virginia just decriminalized marijuana, by German Lopez. Virginia is decriminalizing marijuana. Sunday, Governor Ralph Northam announced he approved a bill that will eliminate jail time for simple marijuana possession, leaving a civil penalty with a fine in place. Northam previously said decriminalization was a priority for him. And the newly elected Democratic-controlled legislature soon followed his lead. This is not full marijuana legalization, under decriminalization, penalties carrying jail or prison time are removed, but lower-level penalties like a fine remain in place, and sales remain illegal. Under legislation, all penalties for marijuana possession are removed, and sales are typically allowed. Some opponents of legislation favor decriminalization as a step toward peeling back America's harsh drug and criminal justice policies. They see tough-on-crime policies are too punitive and costly, but they just don't want to resort to full legalization, which they fear would make pot too accessible in the United States and allow big corporations to sell and market the drug irresponsibly. The concern for legalization advocates is that decriminalization keeps the ban on selling marijuana, which means users wouldn't have a legal source for the drug, and criminal organizations would therefore still have a source of revenue they can use for violent operations around the world. The fines, while less punitive than arrests or prison time, can also cause problems, since they're often applied in a racially disparate manner. To this, including the Virginia chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, opposed the decriminalization memo on similar grounds. They fear that the bill doesn't do enough to dismantle the status quo of prohibition, preferring lawmakers legalize outright instead of taking smaller steps. But the state lawmakers and other activists argued that some progress is better than none. So after Democrats this year took control of Virginia's legislature for the first time in decades, they moved to decriminalize. 11 states and Washington, D.C. have legalized marijuana, although Vermont and D.C. don't allow sales. 16 other states, now including Virginia, have decriminalized. With decriminalization done, activists in Virginia are likely to turn to legalization. The state legislature, for its part, has approved a study on legislation. But while legalization stands to spread across the U.S. this year, so far, no state in the South has fully legalized marijuana. Supporters of legalization argue that it eliminates the harms of marijuana prohibition, the hundreds of thousands of arrests around the United States, the racial disparities behind those arrests, and the billions of dollars that flow from the black market for illicit marijuana to drug cartels that then use the money for violent operations around the world. All of this, legalization activists say, will outweigh any of the potential downsides, such as increased cannabis use, that might come with legalization. Opponents, meanwhile, claim that legislation will enable a huge marijuana industry that will market the drug irresponsibly. they point to America's experiences with the alcohol and tobacco industries in particular, which have built their financial empires in large part on some of the heaviest consumers of their products. This could result in far more people using pot, even if it leads to negative health consequences. Sidestepping that debate, Virginia has decriminalized marijuana. You guys are listening to Smoke News Radio, having some fun on the microphone tonight. Jason Brodsky, bringing some news articles I find out here, thrown together. Having some fun, you know, adding a little voice to the stories. You know, maybe it's a bedtime kind of news story, but be understanding out there that even some people are able to fight for what they want to where they live. Not everybody gets what they want where they live. You got to, there's a lot of big reason that people are running over borders to get to safer places because they're getting oppressed for their wishes. So I hope you're not oppressed for your wishes, and it's keep this going. And next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from RollingStone.com. Legalizing marijuana might decrease arrests, but it won't end racial profiling, by Ed Dixon. This 420 week, because let's be honest, we're in quarantine, we have permission to celebrate all week this year. Many of us will be celebrating on our couches with the joints, edibles, and tinctures of our choice. Outside the comfort of our homes, however, the war on drugs rages on. Even as the legalization movement picks up steam nationwide, new data from the ACLU shows the racial disparities in drug-related arrests persist to this day, even in states that have decriminalized or legalized marijuana. Currently, the 11 states, D.C., and 18 states decriminalized, and one of the most frequently cited arguments in favor of legalization or decriminalization is usually that drug reform will reduce the racial disparities in arrests for marijuana possession. The war on drugs has disproportionately affected communities of color, and black people are more than 3.5 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than white people. According to the ACLU report, it is true that in states where marijuana has been decriminalized or legalized, there has been a decrease in marijuana arrests. In general, those states who have lower rates of racial disparities in marijuana-related arrests than states where marijuana is not legalized, where people of color are more than three times as likely to be arrested for marijuana-related offenses than white people. But even in states where marijuana is legalized and decriminalized, racial disparities in marijuana-related offenses still exist, even in states like Maine and Vermont, where marijuana is legal, and racial disparities in drug arrests actually increased between 2010 and 2018, according to ACLU data. This trend is not consistent across the board. In states such as California and Nevada, which have legalized marijuana, racial disparities in drug-related arrests decreased between 2010 and 2018. But even in states where pot is legal or decriminalized, such disparities still exist, which the report attributes in part to racial profiling practices such as stop and frisk. The report states that in order to reduce such disparities, states need to make more concrete effort to focus on racial justice in devising drug reform, including by ending such practices as stop and frisk and police departments instituting arrest quotas as a measure of productivity. The report, however, concludes with the sobering takeaway that barring such sweeping reform, legalization and decriminalization alone are not enough to reverse the disproportionate harm the war on drugs has caused to the black people and other people of color. Next on Smoke News Radio from Refinery 29. Okay, now we're getting into all the politicians talking about it. Let's roll through this fun one right here. We'll have Bernie start it off a little. Introduced a bill again in 2019. Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren's, the Redeem Act, Careers Act. Okay, then there's Senator Gillibrand, 2020 Democratic presidential candidates, weed legalization, 2019, also with Cory Booker, introduced a bill in 2019, Marijuana Justice Act, Obama, marijuana as a teenager. He didn't dismantle anything about marijuana. Obama helped destigmatize recreational marijuana, whatever that means. Elizabeth Warren, just an equitable cannabis industry. And she's quoted saying, fear of punishment and racial inequality. Then Dana Robacher, medical marijuana production companies, shareholder of Bud Trader. Then Al Gore, nothing really. He was a smoker. Okay, so now let's get into the big article. Because now a whole bunch of people, because everyone's got their Twitter, and everybody's, look, my company's got, I've got 17 different social media things. No more, and a lot less, really. Okay, so let's see. Here's what politicians are saying about marijuana laws in 420. And this is the marijuana moment. Put this together. And they got way more than I'm going to be able to jump through. But I'm going to throw down a whole bunch of things that these people are like, I'm this person from this place. I'm this person from that place. And this is on April 20th. Check this out. Compiled by, whose name? Kyle Yeager. Go, Kyle. Marijuana moment. So dozens of lawmakers and congressional candidates are calling for marijuana reform on 420. While major brands are marketing off the informal cannabis holiday, policymakers and office seekers are drawing attention to the ongoing harms of prohibition and encouraging policy changes. Here's what they're saying. And the first grouping is the members of Congress. And it looks like these are all just like everybody just like if the president Twitters, all Twitter. So these are all like twits. Here we go. Bernie Sanders. It makes no sense for young people to be at jobs because they were arrested for smoking marijuana. It is time to legalize marijuana, expunge past marijuana convictions, and end the failed war on drugs. And that's Bernie Sanders, Vermont. Again, he's like, we have got to legalize marijuana, expunge past marijuana convictions, end the war on failed drugs. And I'm going to comment on these people because he doesn't separate between federal and state. There's another difference. I'll just make it quick. I'll let you know what my comment is. Okay. Senator Elizabeth Warren is quoted as, "It's long past time to legalize marijuana and create a cannabis industry that's open to all and begin to repair the damage caused by our current criminal justice system." She's got a whole plan set up. Girl, legalizing marijuana gives us an opportunity to begin to repair the damage caused by our current criminal justice system. It's long past. Now, that was Elizabeth Warren, then Cory Booker. "It's not enough to legalize marijuana. We must expunge arrest records and repair the damage done to those communities that have been most harmed by the failed war on drugs. My Marijuana Justice Act would do this and more. The end we seek is not just legalization, it's justice." And then Senator Kamala Harris, "The Senate must pass by Marijuana Opportunity Act to legalize marijuana at the federal level and expunge nonviolent marijuana-related offenses from the record of the millions who've been arrested or incarcerated. Too many lives have been ruined by these regressive policies." That was Kamala Harris. And Senator Ed Markey, "We must legalize marijuana and expunge all prior convictions. Black and brown communities have been unfairly criminalized by the war on drugs. As we move towards cannabis legalization, we must prioritize social justice and invest in the communities harmed most by these discriminatory policies." And then Representative Don Young, "For too long, the federal government has stood in the way of states that have acted to set their own cannabis policies. I visited my state's legal cannabis operations, and the fact is that these businesses contribute to our economy and create jobs for Alaskans." Representative Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, "U.S. Today has effectively given death sentences to hundreds of thousands of nonviolent drug offenders trapped in COVID-19 hotspots in our prisons. This 420, let's commit to staying the course and reforming our harmful cannabis policies." And he has his own thing on that, website on that. And then Republican Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, 420 during the global pandemic is the best time to make the case for the nationwide legalization of cannabis. We're already halfway there. Stay on your couch. Only go to the grocery stores. Social distance. Legalize it." And then Representative Dwight Evans from Pennsylvania, "As vice chair of House Small Business, I agree cannabis businesses, including PA medical marijuana businesses, should be eligible for SBA Gov relief like other employers are. I'm a strong supporter of the MORE Act, M-O-R-E Act, Time for Equal Treatment. In conversation with Cannabiswell, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden explains why he and others argue that now is a good time for the SBA Gov to pull out of its time warp and help cannabis businesses struggling amid COVID-19. And then Dwight Evans, still supporter of legalizing cannabis, Pennsylvania, stay home, don't public gatherings, you should be eligible for SBA Gov. Okay. Then Representative Barbara Lee from California, "Today is 420, a day where millions celebrate marijuana, especially today. We cannot forget how our country's policies rooted in systematic racism have locked up communities of color. That's why I introduced the Marijuana Justice Act to reform our outdated marijuana laws." Then Representative Barbara Lee, "Just a reminder, as people celebrate 420 Day, hundreds of thousands of people, largely people of color, are still in prison for marijuana offenses. It's past time to end the failed and racist war on drugs and get real marijuana justice." Cohen, representative, these are all Congress people, by the way, from Tennessee. "Many remain imprisoned on mandatory minimum sentences that Congress repealed but didn't make retroactive. These individuals are unjustly imprisoned and now face a heightened risk of contracting COVID and should be released." Then his hash is, "Let him go" and hash legalize it, CNN.com. And also, our prison population is the largest in the world. The overcrowding is a major factor. Release non-violent offenders immediately. Pound for 20 day. And then Representative Joe Kennedy, justice in this country demands a reckoning with our past. That's why we must not just legalize marijuana, but expunge past possession records and provide clemency. Now, that was Joe Kennedy, Massachusetts, and Representative Ro Khan from California. We must legalize marijuana. We must expunge marijuana convictions. We must reinvest in the communities of color disproportionately impacted by the failed war on drugs. This is a matter of justice. And Ro Khan, this, the only thing marijuana has been a criminal justice system for people of color. It's absurd that we continue to arresting people for using a plant that is legal in 11 states. Here's our three-step plan to end the prohibition on marijuana in America. And he's got a whole end federal prohibition, expunge prior vestings, invest the tax revenue in black and brown communities across America. There's a lot of communities that have been affected. There's a lot of reverse racism going on. There's what I'm saying. But let's keep going. Representative Donna Shalala from Florida. Yeah, I said it. Reverse racism. What's up? So Representative Donna Shalala from Florida. For years, states have been changing their cannabis laws without investing in a better understanding of the effects of cannabis on human health. My bill would reschedule cannabis and allow us to study it so we can safely bring U.S. cannabis policy into the 21st century. And then Representative Carolyn Maloney from New York, happy 420 to all who celebrate. And then Representative Ted Lieu, happy 420, Ted Lieu from California. And then current and former government officials and candidates. Former Representative Beto O'Rourke from Texas legalized marijuana for the people arrested for marijuana and expunged their records, prioritized licenses to sell marijuana to those who disproportionately bore the brunt of the war on drugs. Blacks have been arrested at a 3 times rate of whites. And then former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Julian Castro, we need to legalize marijuana. We also need to release those incarcerated for minor drug charges and expunge the records so they can live productive lives. Former presidential candidate Andrew Yang, the 420, a blast from the past. Thousands are in jail. There's a little brief about that. And then former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, today seems like a good day to remind you that the federal prohibition on marijuana has been a disaster, wasting billions of dollars and deepening racial and economic inequality. And he's got a whole why we must legalize marijuana, why we must end this madness video. It's a moral outrage that millions of people are behind bars for marijuana charges while marijuana industry is making a killing and dispensaries are the new Apple stores. And then Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, 4 years ago, my campaign released this video as only the national candidate to call for marijuana's full legalization, emphasizing the damage rooted in racism. And then he's got Fetterman for Senate. That was an old video he put down. And Oregon State Democrats, this is from their Twitter. Oregon Senate Democrats. Okay, they're just saying there's dispensaries, stay home. You still use them. Second to allow medical use, Oregon State Democrats, they're bragging about the first state to decriminalize, second to allow medical use, fifth to approve recreation use. But yeah, Alaska had it way first. Okay. Pennsylvania Representative Jake Wheatley, Senator Sheriff Street, Representative Gainey, and me today at 4:20 p.m. for a Facebook live stream discussion on ending the prohibition of cannabis in Pennsylvania. Facebook Live, Pennsylvania Representative David Deloso. I will join state lawmakers and activists in explaining why the prohibition of cannabis should end in Pennsylvania. Watch at 4:20 p.m. today. This is the awesomest page in the universe, by the way, people. California Senator Scott Wiener. Today is 4:20. Let's commit to a couple things. Not going to Golden Gate Park to celebrate, get takeout or order in. Expunging all California cannabis. All cannabis convictions immediately. We need to remove the scar caused by mass incarceration. And then Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring, they said it couldn't be done, but starting July 1st, minor marijuana possession will no longer be a crime in Virginia. This is a great start and an important first step towards legal regulated adult use. Awesome. So awesome, people. This is the world's awesome. Okay. One at a time. One at a time. Up, down, left, right, Okay, next. From Washington, D.C., Attorney General Carl Racine joined A.D. Gina Juva, John Hudak, and Professor Rob Mikos for an important conversation hosted at AG Alliance One and Thomas Reuters on cannabis policy nationwide and creative policies from states with regulated markets. States, then from AG Carly Rents. Go back. States have an important role to play in cannabis policy and innovative to ensure that the cannabis market is responsive to the significant racial disparities in the criminal justice system which persist today. Then the city of Denver, as the first state to legalize it, we have a unique and lengthy history celebrating 420. This year, though, we are practicing social distancing, stoned at home. Remember to wash your hands and consume responsibly and legally. And legally. Don't consume illegally. Stop. Where'd you get that marijuana? Did you pay tax? Okay, next from City and County of Denver. If you are missing Denver's annual 420 celebration, we've got you covered with a stream from Stoned at Home, Levitt, Denver, Red Rocks, Royal Fowdy. Okay, then City of Sacramento. Today is 420, a day celebrating cannabis enthusiasts across the U.S. Stay-at-home order. Congressional candidate John Hickenlooper. John Hickenlooper, the cannabis industry is a... Congressional Cannabis Aware. Didn't say. Okay. Is a huge part of our state economy and employs tens of thousands of Coloradans, and it isn't being given the same access to small business loans and other businesses are for COVID-19 relief. And John says, the cannabis industry is a significant part of Colorado's economy. We've got to make sure that we can access the resources they need. And then Betsy Sweet says, as your U.S. senator, I will support legalization of marijuana. This is a medical issue. This is a racial issue. This is a social justice issue. And your name, if you support legalizing cannabis, is the United States. Oh, add your name. Okay. And your name. Yes, your name is Freedom. Then Betsy, I support legalization, recreational use, expunge records, the growing and sales local, maintain medical systems for patients who need it. And then Paula Jean Swearain, recreational legalization of hemp and cannabis can create a better economy with West Virginia and states like it within 6 to 8 months. Additionally, it's important that we serve those most affected by the criminalization of cannabis and work to create opportunities for all. Then Mike Brill here. I am the Democratic running against Mitch McConnell, and I believe we must deschedule and legalize marijuana, just like alcohol or tobacco. It would help prevent drug addiction, save taxpayer money, benefit small farms, and undo horrible racial injustices. We must act. Hashtag 420 day. And then next is Eddie Muraro. Americans, Eddie Muraro for U.S. Senate. Americans need to be incarcerated for nonviolent offenses like possession. We need comprehensive criminal justice reform, and we must legalize marijuana and release those locked up immediately. Discussion live tomorrow night, 7 p.m. RSVP now. And then virtual town hall, legalizing marijuana. And then Ben and Jerry's, cannabis is legal in 33 states. 100,000 people are still arrested for possession each year. Disproportionate number of them black. This hashtag 420, get the facts and join us at ACLU to take action, pass the MORE Act, M-O-R-E, and learn more at benandjerrys.com. You really want to pass the MORE Act, the M-O-O-R-E Act is the real act you want to pass, and it's not up there yet. Okay, then the Lawrence Ham is next. Lawrence Ham for U.S. Senate. Happy hashtag 420, everybody. Today is the day I will be live answering your questions on reddit.com. I look forward to hearing from all you, my future constituents. A. Ham, U.S. Senator for what? Where? I don't know, 1 of 50. He doesn't live in California. Okay, then Jess Scarain for U.S. Senate. For Delaware, legalize marijuana and expunge all prior convictions. When we legalize marijuana, we must also guarantee people who were harmed by ridiculous policing of weed have the first shot at building a business in it. Donate to one of the many weed numbers today to help elect a senator who will fight for it. Jessica Scarain for Senate. Morse, today on 420, I'm using Governor Baker to designate cannabis dispensaries as essential businesses, allow for adult use cannabis sales, and protect public health. Limit sales to Massachusetts residents and allow adult-use stores to make curbside deliveries of their products. Congress should protect workers employed in the state-licensed cannabis industry by ensuring that state-licensed businesses are eligible for Small Business Administration crisis funding and loans. Next, from him, from Alex Morse, finally, the medical and adult-use cannabis industry should be allowed expanded access to the banking sector so that they can use credit cards, thereby reducing the potential transmission of COVID-19. And I was the first mayor in 2016 to support the legalization of recreational marijuana in Massachusetts. It is a necessary step to begin dismantling the war on drugs. And in Holoki, we have worked to ensure those communities harmed by prohibition can build wealth in the new emerging industry. And then Rob Anderson, happy 420. Rob Anderson for Louisiana, happy 420. Here's some political PSA outtakes. Then in Congress, I'll fight to legalize cannabis. I need 420 activists to pitch in $4.20. Will you help me fight the marijuana legalization, giving 420? Hector Oseguera, Hector for Congress for New Jersey. on 420, remember that the most dangerous thing about cannabis is getting caught with it. Hector Oseguera from New Jersey quoted on 420, remember that the most dangerous thing about cannabis is getting caught with it. And then next one, it says Granddaddy Perp is cool. Have you ever explored racial disparities in marijuana enforcements despite comparable consumption rates? Okay. Then John Lisinski for Congress. African Americans are arrested 3.6 times more often than Caucasian Americans for marijuana possession, even though usage rates are similar. Tool of disproportionately penalizing minorities. Injustice must stop. We must decriminalize in Congress. I will work to do so. And then Zena Spizakis, the war on drugs is racist. Adult marijuana use should be legal. Expunge the marijuana arrest records and restore those voting. Then Hector for Congress, New Jersey, legalize it, restore voting rights, expunge records, ban the box, prioritize the licenses of those affected communities, end the war on drugs graphics. Okay. Then Zena Spekas, marijuana use in New Jersey is similar among all races, but African Americans are arrested 3 times more than whites in our state. I support legalized marijuana for anyone 21 and above. And she wants her $4.20 donation. And then Robbie Goldstein, in 2016, Massachusetts legalized recreational cannabis use, ending a decades-old disastrous policy. The National Registry of Exonerations found in 2017 that people of color were 5 times as likely to go to prison for drug possession. And Robbie's also saying, in our community, many of those incarcerated for cannabis-related offenses are still in prison or facing steep challenges as they look for jobs, finding housing, and work to rebuild their lives post-incarceration. The 2019 Cannabis Control Commission report revealed significant racial disparities in cannabis policy in Massachusetts. The war on drugs isn't historic. Its impact still reverberates through communities of color today. Now, as we witness large outbreaks of 19 in prison, the release every person serving a prison sentence for marijuana possession has become even more urgent, and we must turn our attention to those re-entering our community to help get the resources to get back on their feet. And then David Kim, U.S. House candidate, I believe California, in 2018, there were 700,000 marijuana arrests nationwide, 43% of all drug arrests. Race plays a big part in who gets penalized. Black people are 3.6 times more likely to get arrested for possession than whites, despite similar usage rates. By the way, people know the world's changed. These are all numbers for the old world. We live in a new world. Now, understand, all numbers have changed across the board, across the world. You need to look at it. And then, okay, Albert Lee for Congress. Before 20, join us today for our virtual town hall on cannabis legalization and prison reform. Meanwhile, we are looking for 420 contributions to 420 today. Support our need for our virtual town hall. Then Brenda Lopez, join me in the fight to legalize recreational marijuana as a result grow our state's economy and better fund public schools. What state? I don't know. Georgia. For Georgia. Yay. We need to federally decriminalize marijuana, Lulu says. release those who are in prison for marijuana charges, and then expunge their records completely. This is a moral thing to do, but it also makes logical sense. And this is Lulu Sicali of Texas. And then Michaela Wilkes for Congress. Have I been arrested for marijuana possession? Yes. Am I ashamed of that? No. Am I tired of privileged politicians admitting they smoked and faced no consequences, then explaining why they think I should still be illegal? And the prohibition expunged the records. And then Russ Tircioni for New Jersey. Why am I the better choice for New Jersey? Frank Payon voted for a draconian 1994 crime bill. I will reform and work to abolish that bill. New Jersey has one of the highest arrest levels for marijuana possession in the nation, and we must end the prohibition on marijuana. Man, you guys are so great. You're listening to Smoke New Radio. There. Last day. Russ is saying regulated public illegal vapes, expunge all criminal records for marijuana possession, repatriate for those who have been incarcerated, and prioritize invest in small businesses owned by those who have been affected. So, yeah, just do everything you can. Help everyone out there. Understand a lot of people have been hurt. Personally, I believe reverse discrimination does not solve previous discrimination. You cannot go back in time and balance the past out, past oppression by oppressing other people of not color today for marijuana discounts. To, you know, I was oppressed just as much for marijuana. I had to deal with a lot of marijuana things. So anyhow, here's the news, people. Get out there. Help and not be oppressed by marijuana, and don't oppress other people. Give love, opposite of oppression.
A billion people died on the news tonight.
Smoke News Radio, Jason Brodsky. Thank you for listening.
Not so many cried at the devil's side. Well, mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be all right to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. The mama's